This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Listen, it's a little bit of a bittersweet day here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. One of our regulars is moving on to greener pastures. We have to have him on one last time. It is the great Mike Rodak of ESPN.com, or should I say formerly of ESPN.com, joining us on the Buffalo Bills beat one last time. Mike, heard the news. Congratulations on everything, and welcome back into the sports bar.
Thank you. Yeah, you're stuck with me for a little while longer, at least a few more weeks, and then, you know, technically I'm still under contract until August. So not quite former, but maybe on my way. We'll see.
Well, after next week, right? That's pretty much it till training camp for the Buffalo Bills. You have mini camp and then everybody scatters to the wind here?
We do have the media golf tournament the following Monday after mini camp. So that's my one final time to shine. I don't know if I'll be able to do any damage with the partner I have and Chris Finelli from the PR staff.
Oh, man. You and
Brandon
Finelli.
Bean does really well in those things. I mean, Brandon Bean's a great golfer. He is, you know, basically PGA Tour swing speed. I think he won it 2 years ago. It was him and Jerry Sullivan. And last year, I think he came in like second or third. So he's the betting favorite right now.
Mike, let everybody know what the game plan is here. I know you shared it on Twitter for our audience that doesn't know Mike Rodak, who's been covering the Buffalo Bills for years now, moving on and moving down south, correct?
Exactly, yeah. I do Birmingham, Alabama. So everybody who wants me to go back to Boston certainly will not be the case. Although I did have one person on Twitter who said I'll be moving closer to Boston, which I don't know if their geography, they passed geography in high school, but certainly not closer to Boston. But yeah, it's where my wife is from, and that's where we'll, you know, plant roots essentially. And as far as, you know, my role, we'll have to wait and see on that one. I can't really say too much yet, but certainly, you know, hoping that you'll be able to continue, you know, in this business and doing what I do.
Mike Rodak, ESPN.com, Buffalo Bills reporter, at least for a few more weeks, as he is going to be leaving the Bills beat. As far as the team you're kind of leaving behind here, Mike, you went through the Rex years. You've seen some lean times, but when you take a big picture of your time in Buffalo and entering the 2019 season, this is the time of year where everybody should be optimistic, whether it's 2019 or I think your first year was either 2012 or 2013. Regardless, Mike, is there reason to feel optimistic if you're a Bills fan right now, or is this just a byproduct of this is the time of year and everybody feels this way?
Well, I remember back when I was covering the Patriots, 2010 through 2012, and I started talking to people about Buffalo, especially when they knew I was coming here. And sort of the word that came up was JV, not in terms of the city or the fans, but just in terms of the team itself and how things were run was very JV compared to the rest of the NFL. The stadium, facilities, the scouting department, just how they did things. And, you know, I think that became evident when I got here. And, you know, you see some of that up close. And, you know, obviously I tried to be as honest as I could about that, you know, in the public sphere. And, you know, some fans certainly didn't appreciate that. But I think as the years have gone on and over the past 6 years, in my case, this would have been my seventh season, I do think that they've moved up to varsity in terms of what they're doing as an organization. Facilities, I mean, obviously that's night and day, and a lot of it has to do with the new ownership. You know, the stadium itself, I think, will have to come along eventually. Obviously, that's been a separate story this week, but you know, this how the team runs things and the scouting department. I mean, quietly talk to people around here, and they don't have a lot of good things to say about how things were structured under Doug Whaley. I mean, it was probably decades behind. And I think they've gotten up to speed now just as a NFL team. And whether that works out for them under the current regime and the people who are in place, you know, that remains to be seen. But I do think that they've put a general framework in place for this team to be more competitive. And obviously fans deserve it. Fans deserve better than one playoff appearance in 19 seasons. I mean, it should be much closer to, you know, the middle of the road at least than that. And it hasn't been. So hopefully the, you know, what they've done in terms of bringing players in and making this more of a professional operation will benefit both team and the people of this area.
Mike, if there is reason to be optimistic here over the next 2 to 3 years, it does kind of time up nicely with the stadium conversation that was brought up earlier this week when Roger Goodell was at Jim Kelly's golf tournament. I'm curious as to what your thoughts were on Goodell's comments. It certainly seemed like it was just kind of a almost scare tactic, or, you know, just a posturing of his position, because later on that day you heard the Erie County executive's position on the stadium situation as well. Roger Goodell, a new stadium or a renovated stadium, what direction do you think the Buffalo Bills go here over the course of the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, what I said to people is that I wouldn't overrate what Roger Goodell said in it being, you know, desperate or there being an ultimatum or anything like that, but I wouldn't underrate it either. I mean, it is intentional language on Roger Goodell's part. He could have said, you know, we're just going to defer to the Pegulas, whatever timeline they have, whatever intentions they have, you know, we'll honor. That's not what he said, and there's a reason why he didn't say that. It's because, you know, the rest of the league wants the Bills to, you know, sort of step up into the modern era of stadiums, which they aren't. I mean, they have the worst stadium in the NFL now that the Raiders are no longer in that dump in Oakland. That's just the reality of it. And I think Roger Goodell understands he has to walk a fine line. But I do think that he is sending a message. And I think if you look at it as he's not sending any sort of message at all, I think you're probably missing the boat a little bit. Because, you know, there is an urgency on the league's part to get something done here. It has been 5 years now that the Pegulas have been in place. I tweeted a timeline a couple days ago of sort of all the back and forth there's been in this stadium discussion, whether it's been the Pegulas or the NFL or other people involved. And there's really no progress other than the study that's being done and will come out this summer, or at least be released to the Bills this summer. So the big question to me is what is the or else on Roger Goodell's part? Because that's really what's being implied there. He's saying they need a new stadium to be competitive, to be viable, whatever word you want to use. What's the or else? What if they don't? Does that mean they're unstable, they're uncompetitive, and what does that mean? And is there any true threat behind that? Is there something that Roger Goodell doesn't know about the Pegulas' intentions that, you know, or does know about the Pegulas' intentions that we don't know? That's really the question that I have. And obviously we're not going to get an answer there, but I want to just completely brush off the idea of at least a discussion about what the Bills' options would be outside of Buffalo. I don't think that's outrageous to think about or to talk about. I know some fans will completely dismiss it, and I do think it is a remote possibility, but that's the leverage they have. And as Ken Pegula said, they don't have $1.5 billion lying around to build the stadium. So there's going to be public money somewhere. And the leverage you have to get public money is to look at your options elsewhere and then see what else, what other cities could provide money. So that's something that's going to play out long after I'm gone. But again, I wouldn't immediately discount the possibility of the discussion happening where there are other cities involved.
Gosh, I mean, you pick a city, whether it was Minnesota or the San Antonio, even Seattle, I remember reports to LA. All these cities, many of them, I should say, have always had that leverage city. So we're not even at that point yet, hear the story. But I guess my question is, and it's a question that I know you don't know the answer to, but do you think Kim and Terry Pegula have the stomach to go through something like that. Because my impression is that, no, they don't want to move the team, but in order to get what you want in the end, which would be a new stadium or whatever it is in Orchard Park refurbished, well, that's how the game is played. Mike, do they have the stomach to go through a charade like that?
That's the question. I think it's going to be a very fine line that they're going to have to walk if they do. Well, let's put it this way. If they don't have the stomach to do that and they don't make any sort of threat at all, then I don't know how you're going to get public money. I mean, the government here and Mark Bolingcars and maybe even the governor, you know, there doesn't seem to be an appetite there to hand over cash. So if you do have the stomach to go through with it and to say, you know, we want to stay in Buffalo, but if we can't get a stadium done here, then we have to explore our options elsewhere. I mean, look, they did make that commitment right away when they first bought the team. They sent the letter. They said the Bills are here to stay in all caps. I don't know if anybody's really pressed them on that issue since that. Would you ever consider at least talking to other cities and seeing what's out there? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, they're billionaires, and this is a business to them. You know, they're from Buffalo. They have ties to Buffalo, sort of. I mean, Terry Pegula is more of a Pennsylvania guy. Kim is more from Rochester, but they essentially live in Boca Raton. Again, I'm speculating.
They've got so much invested, though, downtown, Mike. Right. I mean, like they would have to liquidate all of those assets because they would become public enemy number one in Buffalo if they were to uproot that team and move it, let's say, to Toronto, north of the border.
They do. I mean, they certainly have some assets. I think the Sabres would probably have to go.
Yeah.
And you're talking about bars and restaurants and, you know, minor things in relation to that. But if they're ruthless businessmen, which NFL owners have proven to be in the past, then they will take the increased revenue or the decrease in cash they have to pay out for a stadium somewhere else and stomach whatever they have to take here. I mean, we've seen it happen before. I'm not saying it's going to happen here. I just don't know if we can for sure rule that out. And I don't think Terry Pegula or Kim Pegula has really said recently that it's off the table completely. I mean, they've sort of kicked the can down the road as far as the stadium's gone, and they've never really said we're absolutely staying here for the next 30 or 40 years. I think that's something that, again, after I'm gone, that there's going to be some journalists that are going to have to really press them on that question because it's going to become very relevant very soon.
Mike Rodak, ESPN.com. One of your colleagues, because you deal with all the other ESPN Nation sports reporters, how do they view this? Because you had the tweet from Mike Florio, the Pro Football Talk, saying the drum beats are getting louder, and that would be on one end. So is it more in line with that, the view of what's going on here in Buffalo, or is it it's more of kind of just the honest conversation? What are your colleagues saying about the stadium situation, if anything, here in Buffalo?
Yeah, I mean, I think people sort of saw the Florio tweet for what it was, and I don't think there was a lot of substance behind it in terms of other reports. I think it was more of a gut feeling that he was getting from Goodell, and I don't think there was other conversations that were contributing to that tweet. So I think people saw that for what it was. I don't think anybody really, sounded the alarm as far as the Bills leaving or the drumbeats getting louder. I don't know if that was exactly true, but I do think there's a lot of people here who do have at least a modicum of skepticism about the Pegulas and, are they truly in this for the city of Buffalo and for the Bills and to keep this team here, even if it means playing in New Era Field until, the light stands fall down and crumble, or are they billionaires and they became billionaires for a reason because they make sound financial decisions, and would they make a sound financial decision that means moving somewhere else and taking the money that would come along with that? I think there's people who, at least have that level of skepticism. I'd probably put myself in that camp just because we've seen it, in NFL history with other teams and other cities and three times recently. with the Rams and Chargers and the Raiders. So it's something you just can't rule out until, you know, it's right in front of you. And Pegulas are actually saying that there's zero chance that we're leaving. Even then, I mean, people have said there's zero chance of things happening before, and they've happened.
Mike Rodak, ESPN.com. Be our ears and eyes from Tuesday's OTA, Mike. For as good as we heard Josh Allen look last week, this week a little bit different, yes?
Yeah. It was interesting because his first day that I saw 2 weeks ago, I was kind of talking to people, and I said, yeah, it was probably his best day of OTA. Because remember, we only get to see one out of every 3 days of OTAs. So we saw one his first week, one his second week, one his third week. Over that span, there was about 12 practices. And I talked to someone, they're like, yeah, it was probably his best day. You know, the other days when you guys weren't here, you know, probably wasn't quite as good, and it all sort of balances out. This one, I think, was on the other end of the spectrum this past Tuesday, or Monday, whatever day it was, when you could, I think, pretty fairly say it was a bad day for him. And the accuracy is still issue number one. It's, can he put the ball where it needs to be? He said that himself, so it's not like I'm going out on a limb and saying this. I mean, Josh Allen said his number one issue and his number one area of concern this offseason is ball placement. And there was a three-play stretch when they were in 11-on-11s where one pass was almost intercepted by Corey Thompson, the linebacker. Didn't quite call in the ball. The next play was down the right sideline. It was more of an out cut, and he threw it way over Robert Foster's head. And then the third play, there was some debate between me and Fairburn over this, but he either overthrew the underneath receiver or he underthrew the deep receiver and basically went right into Jordan Poyer's hands for an interception. So, I mean, we've seen those plays out of Josh Allen before. It's not like it's surprising. We know that part of his game, it's the question of can he minimize that going forward in live action in the regular season? We don't know. I think we're still going to have to wait and see, you know, when the real uniforms come on, how he plays. And look, he could have had great practices the other 2 days this week or the other 3 days this week, and that could have been his lone bad day. We just don't know because we're not out there every day. And I will say the other thing about Tuesday is that his surrounding cast was worse than it was a couple weeks ago when he was great in practice. And it was essentially Robert Foster, Andre Roberts, and Ray McLeod as his top three receivers because Zay Jones is out with an injury. Cole Beasley's out, and he's going to be out until training camp. And then John Brown also wasn't at practice for a undisclosed reason on Tuesday. Voluntary, doesn't have to be there. And obviously Tyler Croft's out, and Jason Kroom's out at tight end. So, you know, receiver-wise, he's down a lot of guys. And then offensive line also had, I think, four players out with injury between Mitch Morris, Ty Insecki, Quentin Spann, which could be the starting right side of your line. And then also both of your backup centers, Russell Bodine and Jeremiah Searles, were down with injuries as well. So everybody that was around Josh Allen was pretty much banged up. And it's easy to say, you know, that played a role in kind of how he performed that day.
Soon to be off the Buffalo Bills beat, Mike Rodak, ESPN.com. Mike, I suppose we could I could ask you about the offensive line or Ed Oliver, any of those questions. But, you know, I mean, this being our last visit here, I mean, we had John Worrell on at camp from the AP last year, and we were talking about bigger picture things. And he told us a story how much he really respected Chan Gailey. I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Now that you're kind of putting a wrap here, not just yet, but pretty soon on your time as a Buffalo Bills reporter, who might have been some of the favorite guys you covered on this team, or who might be somebody you would say, you know, that was really a good person. I enjoyed working with him.
Yeah, I mean, there's always, you know, certain things that I think cloud our perspective there from a media standpoint. So I think we tend to gravitate towards players and coaches and executives or whatever who are good to us, essentially, that talk to us and give us good material. But that's our job, so I think that's a pretty fair perspective to have. I think Anthony Lynn is probably high on that list. I think you talk to a lot of people around the league, and Anthony Lynn is known as a good man who deserved everything he got in terms of getting that Chargers job, and I think he's done a good job up there. I mean, currently, Brandon Bean, I think, has a very good reputation among reporters on this beat. He's very accessible. He's very human. He's very honest, and I think a lot of people appreciate that. You know, player-wise, obviously, you know, Lorenzo Alexander is in the class of his own. I think that's pretty out there. There's other guys over the years who I think have done very well with us. Preston Brown's one that comes to mind. Some of the goofier guys, even, you know, Booby Dixon, Leotis McKelvin, Chantrell Henderson, just guys who, you know, you just want to walk up and talk to in the locker room. Just, they're fun to be around. I'm forgetting a lot of guys, too. I mean, there's been 6 years, I think I counted last summer or something, but it's been like over 80 assistant coaches and obviously 3 head coaches and 10 coordinators, 2 owners. I would assume if you count up all of the training camp players and all those guys, it's been at least 300 or 400 players that I've covered over that time. And there's been tons and tons of turnover on that end as well. So, you know, a lot of the names and faces tend to fly by pretty quickly, but you know, those are a few that sort of pop up in my mind. And I think the current PR staff too is very well regarded around here. I know a lot of people have a high opinion of Derek Boyko when he came here 2 years ago now from the Eagles, and the Bills are actually nominated for the Pro Football Writers Association Award honoring the best PR staff, and that gets released tomorrow, so I'm hoping that they snag that one. So it would be a first for them in team history.
And Mike, as far as stories you were involved with your time in Buffalo, was the biggest one, because you were involved directly when LeSean McCoy opened up about his disdain for Chip Kelly to you?
Yeah, I forgot about that until you just told me. I mean, there's so many that, you know, we're sitting around and having beers or whatever. There's so many different stories and quirky things that have happened around here that sometimes you forget about that. Yeah, I mean, that was a strange day where you almost don't believe the words that are coming out when the person sitting next to you. I mean, you were in the back of a limo driving from the stadium to the airport, and it wasn't as if he was animated that day. It was just a conversation, and he knew it was being recorded, and he knew it was being published, and you know, he said what he said, and that was pretty interesting. I mean, you think about, you know, Doug Marrone resigning, essentially, and all the antics with Rex and his brother and taking a party bus to the Game 7 of the World Series during the week of a game. I mean, there's been so many different things around here. And, you know, not to make light of it, but player arrests and strange things that have happened to players off the field, and stories that, you know, other people around the league are saying, man, like, to cover that, that's wild. So, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of different things, and I'd have to sit down and look at all the stories to even remember some of the things that have happened that I've covered.
I'm sure it'll make a great book someday, Mike. You are one of the best, if not the best. I can't thank you enough personally for everything you've given to us here in the Sports Bar over the course of our almost 3 years on the air. We know how hard you work. We know how good you are at your job, and we know how good of a man you are making the decisions that you're making, and greener pastures await. We are raising a glass to our West. Happy trails, Mike Rodak.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'll miss you.
Mike Rodak, the great Mike Rodak, one last time here in the Sports Bar. Tweet us at ESPN Rochester. You can call us 454-ESPN. I'm going to miss that guy.
Yeah.
That's going to be
Yeah. Tough. Look, I know he's not everybody's favorite. I'll say it because I know that there are people that are listening that like, ugh, Rodak.
I give him credit, though.
I don't get it.
If you hopped in at the end of that, he went right to that at the beginning where he said, when I was covering the Patriots and people in New England, this is circa 2012, that's the JV team, meaning Buffalo. Okay, we can either say that didn't happen or that era really did happen when Ralph died and there was an organization and you were left with the Russ and Doug show.
Look back at that time and tell me that that statement isn't, that opinion isn't valid.
So an outsider comes in and tells you what you don't want to hear, and the some people right. never got
it's
over
it's a
that.
No-win situation. Yeah. We get criticized either for being homers or for being too negative. You can be too negative over something that you need to be negative in, and you're too negative. You can be a homer when you don't need to be a homer. You can't win. You can't win. He's one of the best. And, man, some big shoes to fill for the new Bills beat writer for ESPN.com.
Continuous negotiation. He's moving across the country for his wife.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. Marcel Louis Jacques, the new Bills beat writer for ESPN.com. And we hope to have him on with us here in the near future in the sports bar. Big shoes to fill. Mike Rodak, unbelievable. One of the best. All right, we are up against it. Happy hour is right around the corner, Gino. Let's quickly go through some NFL news and notes here. NFL appetizers brought to you by Alex's Place, making mouthwatering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years online at alexsribs.com.
Now, so from last night's Jets running back, Le'Veon Bell was robbed of more than $500,000 of jewelry. Two women who were described as girlfriends of Bell allegedly robbed him of jewelry last month. Bell claims that he returned from the gym May 25th to find the women gone, along with all the jewelry gone. The theft happened in Hollywood, Florida.
Let's talk about what's going on with the Jets there and their GM search. The second round of interviews underway as they conducted follow-up phone conversations with all four of their top candidates last night. This according to Adam Schefter of ESPN. Eagles Vice President of Personnel Joe Douglas. Seahawks Co-Director of Player Personnel Scott Fitterer. Bears Assistant Director of Player Personnel Champ Kelly. And Saints Director of Pro Scouting Terry Fontenot have all interviewed with Jets CEO Christopher Johnson and head coach Adam Gase. Multiple reports have indicated that Douglas is indeed the favorite, but it clearly isn't a runaway favorite if all four candidates are getting that follow-up call.
I remember Ronald Darby, the former Bills corner, well, with Philadelphia last year. He tore his ACL in week 10. Darby now says he hopes to be ready in time for training camp. Ronald Darby's missed 15 games over the last two seasons. Darby says he's running at close to the same speed he was at before the injury, and he feels his flexibility and strength are coming back as well.
Jermaine Kearse is headed to Detroit. This is going to mark a reunion with Lions offensive coordinator Darrell Bevell, who was Kearse's OC while he was in Seattle. He caught 37 passes for 371 yards and a touchdown last year for the Jets. Danny Amendola is a Detroit Lion as well. Another offseason addition for the Lions receiving core, which also includes, of course, Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay.
Now, we really do need a nickname for the other Josh Allen, right? Because how many times has this happened to you? You're looking at headlines and you see something. Oh, Josh Allen injured. Why? Oh, this is Josh Allen South we're talking. Josh Allen South won't make it back on the field for the Jaguars until training camp. The other Josh Allen has been out of practice and suffering a knee contusion early in the OTAs. Head coach Doug Marrone says it's unlikely the pass rusher Josh Allen will be practicing during next week's mandatory minicamp. Corner Jalen Ramsey and others have been absent from voluntary work and are expected to be there. Linebacker Telvin Smith is the exception. He's already announced he won't be playing in 2019.
All right, there you go. Some NFL news and notes to get you caught up. All the top stories of the day in bite-sized form. NFL appetizers in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. We have happy hour on the way next and our usual fare, a round of shots. And last call. Time for your takes at 454-ESPN, 454-3776. Also before 6, free tickets to see Brooks and Dunn at C-Max Sunday night. Stay in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.